My dear friends, when the Lord Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist at the River Jordan, at the commencement of his public ministry, the Holy Ghost descended in bodily shape like a dove upon him. We are told this in the third chapter of the Gospel of Luke, and in verses 21 and 22. Luke chapter 3, verses 21 and 22. Now, when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also being baptized and praying, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him. And a voice came from heaven which said, Thou art my beloved Son, in thee I am well pleased. The Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him. When the Lord Jesus was baptized, the Holy Ghost descended upon him like a dove. And there is no greater need in your life or in my life than that the Holy Spirit, the same Holy Spirit, who came upon the Lord Jesus at the commencement of his public ministry, should come upon us like a dove. Before ever we can live victoriously, before ever we can serve effectively, before ever we can be the men and women whom God would have us be, we must experience this holy anointing. We must know what it is, for the same mighty, tender, Holy Spirit of God to come upon us like a dove. Indeed, it is not too much to say that the reason for all our failure in Christian living may be traced to the fact that we try to live for the Lord, and we try and we strive to serve the Lord without this holy anointing of the Holy Spirit. Oh, my dear friends, this of which we are thinking and speaking in this solemn moment is our greatest need. It is the great imperative. It is the most urgent need of every single Christian. It is your need. It is my need. Now, the Lord Jesus, of course, was conceived of the Holy Spirit. He was born of the Holy Spirit, and he lived a perfect, holy, sinless life, and he came to do the Father's will. He said, before he came in the flesh, in the volume of the book it is written of me, Lo, I come to do thy will, I delight to do thy will. And so he came into this world gladly and voluntarily. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, to save us. But before our Lord Jesus Christ could begin that work for which he had come into the world, before he could embark upon his great and wonderful public ministry, before he was, in fact, and please note the word, somehow qualified at all for this 3 years of ministry, he needed the holy anointing. This holy anointing of which we read here, this might with power. And here at his baptism, while he stood in Jordan's water and prayed, the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him. And afterwards he was able to stand in the synagogue and say, The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for I have been anointed to preach the gospel. And afterwards, Peter, in one of his sermons, was able to say how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. This, my friends, for the Lord Jesus, the blessed Son of God, our Savior, was a definite experience. There was a before and an after. There was a time before when this anointing was not his. And there was a time ever after during those 3 years of public ministry when this holy, blessed anointing was resting upon him. A definite experience. But you know, this experience was not only for the Lord Jesus. It was also for his first followers. Why, in this same chapter, in verse 16, we read, John answered, saying unto them all, I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I cometh, the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to unloose, he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost. And you will remember how that the Lord Jesus, before he ascended, he said to his disciples, now look, there's one thing I want you to remember. I'm just going to leave you. Tarry in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. We know how that on the day of Pentecost, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all gathered together in one place with one accord, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost descended upon them like a dove. And as we go on through the book of the Acts, which is the record of God's dealings with his servants in the early days of the church, we read over and over again that the Holy Ghost came upon them. The place was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. When Saul of Tarsus found Ananias coming in to help him, Ananias said, The Lord, even God, hath sent me, that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. But, my dear friends, this blessed, wonderful, life-transforming, service-empowering anointing of which we are thinking and speaking in this solemn moment in this evening hour was not only for the Lord Jesus, wonderful as that is, was not only for those first disciples and followers of his, but this holy anointing is for every one of us in this tent and in every relay center and for every Christian everywhere this night. This is the indispensable qualification, requisite for victorious Christian living and for fruitful and effective Christian service. This is our greatest need today in the Christian church. This is my greatest need. My dear brother, my sister, my dear minister, my dear missionary, this is your greatest need. Oh, there's a great mystery here that our Lord Jesus Christ, though he was holy, harmless, undefiled, and separate from sinners, somehow needed this great qualification before he could enter upon his public ministry. There's no mystery about the fact, but it is actual history that the disciples actually received this anointing. And what a transformation was wrought in them and through them. And before you and I can live for the Lord as he would have us live, and before we can serve the Lord effectively, we must know what it is for the same blessed Holy Spirit to come upon us like a dove. And just as surely as I am standing here tonight and you're sitting there, am I deeply convinced that the Holy Ghost waits and wants to come upon us like a dove. Why like a dove? This surely is significant. I think because the dove is noted for four qualities: purity, beauty, humility, and alacrity. Purity, in the Song of Solomon, chapter 6, verse 9, the bridegroom is speaking to the bride, and he calls her, "My dove, my undefiled." Purity. Beauty, in Psalm 68, verse 13, "Though ye have lain among the pots, yet shall ye be as the wings of a dove, covered with silver, and her feathers with yellow gold." Beauty. Humility, gentleness. Jesus said, when you go, you're to be as harmless as doves. Humility. And alacrity, swiftness. Swiftness and readiness to obey. Psalm 55. "Oh, that I had the wings of a dove." Why the wings of a dove? So that I can get away quickly. Alacrity. Now, in the case of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit came upon him, enduing him with power like a dove, because he already possessed these dove-like qualities. Yes, he already possessed in perfection, purity, beauty, humility, and alacrity to do God's will. And the Holy Ghost came upon him, as it were, as a seal from heaven, because here all these graces and virtues were seen in absolute perfection. But in our case, because we are sinful humans, and so unlike our Lord, so completely unlike our Lord, who was unique as God and man, and as the God-man. In our case, the Holy Ghost comes upon us like a dove to impart these qualities of purity and beauty and humility and alacrity. Jesus was already pure and beautiful and humble and ready to do God's will in every single respect. But you and I need the Holy Ghost to empower us, to make us pure, to make us beautiful, to bring us down into the place of humble subjection to the will and plan of God, and to make us ready always to do his will. Thomas Goodwin, that great old writer, said this: "All apparitions that God at any time made of himself were made not so much to men to show what God is in himself, as to declare what effects he will work in us." So that when the Holy Ghost came upon the Lord Jesus as a dove, it was not so much to declare the purity and the beauty and the humility and the alacrity of the Lord himself, but it was to show that these qualities would afterwards be imparted to us in the power of the Holy Ghost, and only thus could we ever be pure or beautiful or humble or filled with alacrity. The Holy Ghost, in other words, comes like a dove to show us that he would make us dove-like. And when he comes upon us, and as he comes upon us, just as he came upon the Lord Jesus, just as he came upon those early Christians, when he comes upon us, he will make us like a dove. And that means, first of all, we shall know his purity. And you know, my dear friends, whatever theories we may have about the Pentecostal blessing, there is one great thing we simply cannot escape. And it is this: that the early Christians, when the Holy Ghost came upon them, they were purified. And you know, we were singing that just now. Listen. "Oh, that in me the sacred fire might now begin to glow, burn up the dross of base desire, and make the mountains flow. Thou who at Pentecost did fall, do thou my sins consume. Come, Holy Ghost, for thee I call, Spirit of burning, come. Refining fire go through my heart. Illuminate my soul, scatter thy life through every part, and sanctify, or if you like to use the word that I have chosen now, purify the whole." So I repeat that the first thing we shall know when the Holy Ghost comes upon us like a dove, we shall know his purity. Jesus said, ye shall receive power. But when that power came on the day of Pentecost, there was a deep, inward cleansing and purifying. We cannot deny that. Why, you just think for a moment how carnal these Christians were. How full of terrible failure they were until the day of Pentecost. And then what a change was seen in them. Why, they disputed among themselves who should be the greatest. And then a little later on they came and they said, Master, we saw one casting out devils in thy name, and we forbade him, because he followeth not us. And, Lord, shall we command fire to come down from heaven to consume them? And many other things, the impurity of pride and sectarianism and vindictiveness, and we might add jealousy and envy and criticism. Oh, what impurities! But, listen, when the Holy Ghost came upon them like a dove, there was a deep inward cleansing. All spirit of faith and love, work in our souls, we pray, and purify each waiting heart. That's it. Baptize us with power today. Is this not our need? Do we not possess these impurities? Do we not long to be freed from them? What is the way? The Holy Ghost must come upon us like a dove. And if he were to come upon us tonight, beloved, like a dove, we would have this dove-like quality of inward heart purity, and thus power to live for the Lord, lives that are radiant, and power to serve the Lord. One of our dear friends who has several times stood on this platform gave his testimony once at Keswick, not in the big meeting, but in the speaker's house party. And this is what he said. He said, you know, brethren, for years I was praying for power. One day God showed me that what I needed to pray for, first of all, was purity. Perhaps that's a word for someone in the tent tonight. How can I know this purity? The Holy Ghost must come upon me like a dove. But the second thing is, we shall reflect his beauty. One of our most favorite choruses is that chorus, Let the beauty of Jesus be seen in me. I'm quoting it in the Revised Version. All his wondrous compassion and purity, make, O thou Spirit divine, make all this nature, my nature, thine, till the beauty of Jesus is seen in me. And that's the only possible way for the beauty of the Lord Jesus to be really, adequately, and manifestly reflected in our lives. It can never be by striving and by effort, by external things. This is God's purpose in saving us. He shall beautify the meek with salvation. Let me show you something. Stephen was the first Christian martyr, and he was a mighty preacher. And then he was apprehended and brought before the council. And then what happened is they all looked at Stephen as he gave his defense and made his defense. We read this, that all that sat at the council looking steadfastly on him saw his face as it had been the face of an angel. The beauty of the Lord was upon him. How do you account for that? Well, it is surely significant that three times in that chapter where we read about this, we are told that Stephen was filled with the Holy Spirit. In other words, he knew what it was for the Holy Ghost to come upon him like a dove, anointing him for all the ministry and for all the living and for all the service that God demanded of him and required of him. And so when the Holy Ghost comes upon us like a dove, we shall know, first of all, purity, and then we shall reflect his beauty. And third, we shall share his humility. Oh, there's something deeply humbling about this. Harmless as doves, said Jesus. How gentle the Lord Jesus was. And those fishermen who by nature were so rough and ready, yes, thank God for every one of them, but they were, weren't they? How gentle they became under the breath and anointing of the Spirit of God. And Dr. F. E. Marsh, in his famous book entitled The Emblems of the Holy Spirit, he says this one reason that is given for the gentleness of the dove is that the bird has no gall. The gall being considered by the naturalists of old as the fountain of contention. The bitterness of the gall being supposed to infuse itself into the spirit. So here you see we've got a contrast, the gall of pride and contention and bitterness and the dove of gentleness and meekness and humility. How often our lives are spoiled by the gall of pride and how little sometimes they're characterized by the dove of humility. Said a missionary out in India in my hearing to another missionary, I want to apologize for saying that the other day. I ought not to have said it. That was a real mark of humility. A Christian in Keswick the other day wrote a letter because of something that had been said in one of the meetings and God put his finger upon her life. That was a mark of humility. A man the other day went to another Christian and said, look here, about that thing, I demand an apology. That was a mark of pride. That was the gall of bitterness and pride and contention. Oh, beloved, meekness is not weakness. Jesus said, learn of me, for I am meek and lowly. And if you're going to be my followers, surely you will share my humility. How? When the Holy Ghost comes upon you, like a dove, because there's no gall of contention or pride in the Holy Spirit. And when he comes like a dove, we are made gentle and loving and meek and easy to live with. In a word, we are made Christ-like. Said a person to me the other day concerning her husband, and I'm rather ashamed to repeat this, but you wouldn't know who this person is, of course. It was miles and miles away from here. But she said, you know, he's never very good in the morning. Do you know what was meant? How can that sort of thing be dealt with? Well, it can, when the Holy Ghost comes upon us like a dove. And finally, when he comes upon us like a dove, we shall receive his alacrity. Oh, how swift the dove is! Why, Chambers' dictionary says, alacrity means readiness, eagerness, gladness, promptitude. In what way does the Holy Spirit impart this dove-like quality? Well, you see, he makes us eager and ready to do the will of God, swift to obey God's will, longing to do what God wants and very swift to do it. Then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Thy very law is within my heart. The whole purpose of my life, let it be to do thy will right up to the hilt. How can I do that, though, when the Holy Ghost comes like a dove? A burning desire to do the will of God, to be in the place of his choice, doing the thing of his choice. Thy will be done in my life, O God, at all costs. You want an illustration of that as I bring this message to a close? All right, Philip was told, arise and go. And in the next verse, we are told, he arose and went. A little later on, the Spirit said unto Philip, go near. And the next verse says, Philip ran. What was the secret? He was filled with the Holy Ghost. He was anointed with the Holy Spirit. Now, I have just 1.5 minutes more before I sit down. May I say these two things as I sit? The first is this. When did the Holy Spirit come upon the Lord Jesus like a dove? The first answer to that question is this. The Lord Jesus was wholly abandoned to the Father's will. That's the first thing to note. And the second thing we are told is this. While he stood in the waters of Jordan, he was praying. There was intimate communion with his heavenly Father. He was moving along in the line of the will of God. And with his will laid down, here I am, O Father. It is for this purpose I came into the world. I have come to do thy will. And while he prayed, that's important, as well as the abandonment of the will, the Holy Ghost came upon him like a dove. The disciples had a 10 days prayer meeting before the day of Pentecost. In Acts chapter 4, verse 31, it was while they prayed that the place was shaken and that the Holy Ghost came upon them. In Acts chapter 9, it was while Paul was down, Saul of Tarsus was down praying, for behold, he prayeth, that the Holy Ghost came upon him, and he was filled with the Holy Ghost, and straightway went out to live and to labor for his Lord, and to be a flaming apostle of his. My dear friends, make sure that your life is fully given over to the Lord. Fully, fully, fully given over to the Lord. And that you desire above everything else to be in the center of God's will and to do his will. And then get alone in the place of prayer. And wait there until God meets with you. God is longing to meet with you. And you'll have his purity. And his beauty. And his humility, and his alacrity. Can you see the Lord Jesus standing there in Jordan's water, praying? Suddenly, the Holy Ghost descended in bodily shape like a dove upon him. And that can be your experience. Beloved, it must be your experience. If you're ever to be the man or the woman God would have.